Hare Krishna. We are reading today a very famous verse. It comes from the Bhagavatam and is spoken by Ramananda Roy in this Ramananda Samvad, this very important discussion about absolute truth. Where does it stop? The extent of the truth. At this point, what point? The point is where Ramananda Roy had said something about the Lord and devotional service to Him, or the means to attain Him, that was very profound, and it was very, it was accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before that, he said, your answers, what's the perfection of life, are rather surface level. You need to really go deeper. And this is what Ramananda Roy came up with. My dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truth, they should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes and qualities. So hearing about Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, this is important for those who have given up lesser processes to attain the truth. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. And today's verse, at this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, this is all right. But still, you can speak more on the subject. Ramananda Roy then replied, ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfection. Yes, yesterday in one of in one presentation, we heard about a letter which Srila Prabhupada had spoken. In this letter, he expresses a discontent about the ability of his disciples to really understand the essence of all perfection, or the essence of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada had written to Satsvarup Maharaj, by now I've explained everything you need to know, but you are not getting the point. You're not becoming mad for Krishna. And I'm still thinking what is to be done. He wanted us to experience the ecstatic love and devotional service to the Lord. When he said mad for Krishna, he didn't refer to something that needs to be treated by a psychotherapist. He referred to an exclusive absorption in the Lord, which is always a loving absorption. So he said, you're not getting the point. And I'm thinking, what is to be done? So here we hear about this again. We are reminded and humbled. So this is now a rather technical purport, and you really need to try hone your attentive listening skills. Let's try. in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes the conversation up to this point, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Ramananda Roy, Eho Hoya Age Kaha Ara. This is the process accepted in devotional service. You know, that we should hear about Krishna's name, form, etc. This is the process accepted in devotional service. But there is something more than this. Therefore, please explain what is beyond. And Prabhupada makes clear now in the following why just performing devotional service in a dutiful external way is not enough. He says, simply executing the duties of all vanas and ashrams is not as good as offering all the results of one's activities to the Lord. When one gives up all these fruitive activities and then fully surrenders to the Lord, he attains svadharma tyaga, wherein he abandons the social order and takes to the renounced order. That is certainly better. However, better than the renounced order is cultivation of knowledge mixed with devotional service. Yet, all these activities are external to the activities of the spiritual world. There is no touch of pure devotional service in them. Pure devotional service cannot be attained by empiric philosophy, nor can perfection be attained simply by good association. Devotional service by self-realization is a different subject matter. It is untouched by fruitive activity. For one surrenders the results of activities to the Lord, abandons prescribed duties, and accepts the renounced order of life. Such devotional service is situated on a higher platform than that of empiric philosophical speculation with a mixture of bhakti. This is verified by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So we will hear now the standard of bhakti or devotional service that is not mixed with karma and jnana. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana kamajana avritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttamam. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities of philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Now Srila Prabhupada will speak of the journey a devotee has to undertake if he wants to come to this level. He says, devotional activities, however, sometimes appear to be impure in the neophyte stage. But in the mature stage, they are completely pure or free from material activity. Therefore, Ramananda Rai replied after hearing the last statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Bhakti Sarva Satya Sara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually accepted this verse, Jnane Prayasam, as the basic principle of perfection. One has to practice this principle in order to make further progress. When further progress is actually made, one comes to the platform of ecstatic loving service to the Lord. This first stage is technically called sadhana bhakti, or devotion and service and practice. The result of sadhana bhakti must be ecstatic love, attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is also called prema bhakti. In the neophyte stage, sadhana bhakti includes faith, association with devotees, and practicing devotional service. Thus, one is freed from all unwanted things. One then becomes fixed in devotional service and increases his desire to act in devotional service. Thus, one becomes attached to the Lord and his devotional service. Before starting, I would like to make a personal observation. I have often, most of the time actually, been in your situation where a devotee ecstatically read Srila Prabhupada's purport to a text, and he was getting happiness because he understood what Prabhupada was explaining. But I was sitting in the audience, it was in the morning, a little tired, my stomach is growling, and trying to get it, but I couldn't get it. I didn't know if you would have asked me what was in the purport. What did he explain, Prabhupada? I would just be able to say maybe something about Krishna, I think, not more. you really, my dear devotees, you really have to sit with Prabhupada's books and go through them slowly. Stop at times, go to the beginning again. Sometimes when you're so full in the mind with the thoughts of the day, you might have to read a sentence three or four times. I find myself in this situation. Or when you're old, like me, where the memory gets weakened day by day, then you need to repeat again, but then you get so much nectar out of it. But you have to be willing to sit with the text and question the text. What did you just say? What is the message here? And then you go back to a previous verse, and you stop a little, think, have I ever heard something about this before? And as you enter what is called the stage of mananaha, or reflection about the text, you will get it. You will get very sweet realizations about which you can then think throughout the day. But again, you have to be willing to sit with the text to get something out of it. Good. Let us offer our pranams to Prabhupada now and then start the lecture. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Babu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadhara Ivasari Govaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. What we hear in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a discussion about the ultimate facets or aspects of truth, absolute truth, and how we might reach there, how we can come in contact. And in the verse, which this verse, you know, in the verse before this one, the message was really give up your own endeavors to know, but hear about Krishna from realized souls. And then Krishna, seeing this effort in you, that you listen, hear about him, he actually becomes so moved or so impressed that he becomes conquered. What this means is he gives up his being a silent god and becomes what Carl Gustav Jung said, a close god. No, he actually comes to the perception of his devotees. There is an example in the Bhagavatam by Narada Muni. Narada Muni, as you know, had given up his previous life. He had left his village when his mother was bitten by a snake, and he had gone on the ultimate quest to find the Lord. And then it is described, he met actually Lord Shiva, a Mahabhagavat, who gave him a mantra to chant, and he applied this mantra. As we hear here, it's the holy names. It's about what this verse talks about. I wanted to say it is a chanting about Krishna, you know, Krishna's glories, Krishna's name, Krishna's form, how he is, how he looks, and so on. And here is the verse, what happened, which explains what happened to him. Pragayata svavirjani tirtapada priyashrava ahutaiva meshikram dashanam jati shetasi. So here's again someone who does what we hear about in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He just chants holy name and Krishna, about Krishna's activity. And then what happened? The Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart. Wow! As if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. Prabhupada makes an interesting commentary. He says, it is a natural psychology in every individual case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. That is a natural instinct. And the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology. Krishna likes when his devotees talk about him. They talk of him. Prabhupada says, that is a natural instinct, and the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology. Prabhupada is so personal with Krishna. Yes. And then he ends his verse, his purport with something really amazing. You will what? Listen very carefully. You need to catch this one. Narada Muni penetrates into the presence of the Lord by the transcendental chanting. So, wow, what penetration. The original meaning is, you have a sharp instrument, like a nail. You can go through this piece of paper. I don't have a nail. I would love to show you, but the nail then penetrates through the paper and comes out here in the other side. So by chanting the holy name, the devotee actually penetrates the layers of conditioning. He goes through the conditioned nature, and he becomes, he comes close to the Lord. I saw that yesterday when we passed these sensually dressed people. They were really dressed for sin. You could see this, really dressed for the accumulating bad karma. So the karma, the kirtan came by, and we were many. You remember, we were well above 300 devotees, and they were all chanting. And I saw sometimes some fog was manifesting from their mouth. That meant they chanted from the inside out, And so we came by these people, and they started to move. They started to sing, and then they noticed this was not just this mischievous dancing, but it was something spiritual, something serious. We were actually glorifying Krishna, and we were happy about doing this. And their whole demeanor, the way they looked or they came across, changed. The men looked all of a sudden like little innocent boys, or like our Smarahari, so pure and so on, and then the girls, they looked like little shishus, little small girls, very innocent, pure, and so on. I still didn't come close, but but I noticed to them, yes, you're doing the right thing. Please, more. We need to hear more of you. So they went through a wall of conditioning. They penetrated the layers, like Prabhupada says in this verse. You must know that in every we as conditioned beings need to penetrate into the presence of the Lord, because if we stay on this side, so to say, on the side of conditioning, our life will be material. Even if we chant Krishna Hari Rama, it will not really make a substantial change unless, because the conditioning is so strong. There are three material states of consciousness. The first state is what I see with my vacant senses in the wakeful state. It is jagrata. No? I see certain things. I see you have a brown head, which suits you, by the way, very nice. I see, what else do I see? Well, I won't embarrass the ladies by giving a description. I see a gentleman who is doing multifunctional listening. He writes a message in his mobile telephone and doesn't know at the moment that we speak about him. He's fully absorbed. Hello. we speak about you at the moment in the class. Yes. Our senses, when they are awake, they see a certain reality. But here, for instance, I do not see the soul of this. I do not see our gentleman with the mobile telephone. Wonderful, yes, wonderful. I see a very, very well prepared tilak today. Thank you for coming to the mandir. It's very important that we have a religious sign. Yes. So this is what I see in the wakeful state of consciousness with the help of my senses. There is another state of consciousness which covers the soul. It's called svapna, when the body is at rest, but the mind is active in dreams. I was dreaming today of the two brothers, Yogi and Anandamurti. They offer online courses on physical training. And in my mind, I saw that, although I've never seen it in real life, I hear they're very good fitness trainers. So in my mind, I dreamt about this. Not the most spiritual dream, I admit, but this is the second state of awareness, what you see in your dreams. Body is at rest, but still the subtle body is working, the mind, which is a covering to the soul just like the body. Then there's a third level of consciousness. It is called Sushupti, where both body and mind are at rest. It's called the dreamless state. And it is said 1/256th portion of prana, that's the life force, is still active. Your body is breathing. It is, here comes a difficult English word, hibernating. But your consciousness is not really perceiving. You are in the dreamless state. Normally, when we come out from this state, it happens for sometimes a few minutes, we feel really well and happy. Have you noted? Yes. Have you noted that after a good sleep, you feel very happy and the problems have been relativized? You know what happened? You have entered into the third material state of consciousness. And in that state where your mind and your senses were not active, you were for a moment, a brief moment, like this, touching the effulgence of the Lord in the heart. But you were unconscious. It was not a God realization. You didn't notice. Where was I? In my consciousness, I was in dreams, deep, dreamless sleep, and something happened to me. I became revitalized. I'm happy. It's because you unconsciously came close to the Lord in the heart, but because you were not conscious, this is even still a material state of consciousness. You came close to the Lord. It's almost like taking a darshan and you think of the last movie on Netflix which you saw. You are in front of the Lord, but you are not perceiving the Lord. Instead, you see a foolish Viking taking his axe and conquering England, you know. Or something, you know. But there's a fourth state, and to come to Krishna consciousness means really to come into this state. It is called Tuya, which means the fourth state. It is a spiritual state where you come into the presence of the Lord and you consciously, remember this word, consciously interact with Him, for instance, in prayer, or when you chant, and all of a sudden, something awakens in you. Something, you penetrate through the wall. Like these people yesterday, they got a lot of mercy yesterday. They were swept up by the current of the kirtan, by the flow of the, it looked really like an ocean of devotees, and for a moment they could leave their sinful mentalities behind and just dance like little children and be touched and so on. No? This is where you need to come in your spiritual life. Otherwise, you will not make full use of the process of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, in other words, is the process of awakening. Now, those of you who have studied your consciousness when you awaken will know it is a gradual, slow process. Let me give you an example of myself awakening this morning. I went to bed late and was... I'm not dancing every day like that on the street, so I was tired. And so I was there in my very, very extremely comfortable resting room. And all of a sudden, I heard a sound. It was the... I heard an alarm clock. So I went and put the alarm clock in on stop. I still remember I was disturbed. What is this sound? It is unwanted and undesirable at this moment. So I turned my alarm clock. It is a very specific German fabrication. If you turn it upside down, it can't function any longer. So I turned it upside down and continued to sleep. But the alarm clock didn't stop. It became louder, 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 whoop, until I woke up and said, it's time to wake up. In my unwillingness to wake up, I had made the actual alarm clock a part of my dream. I had dreamt it was beep, 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 beep in the dream, and I had counteracted it according to my choice. I had stopped it in my dream. But the actual alarm clock was continuing to wake me up. In other words, waking up is a gradual process. And it happens by hearing. When we are going in Krishna consciousness, we have a similar reaction. We make Krishna, we make the process of devotional service a part of our dream without waking up. We do all the things mechanically, but we stay on the level of consciousness which we have heard. Wakefulness, where our senses and mind work. Svapna, where our senses stop working, but our mind dreams. Shushupti, where everything is out, except a little of the prana is still keeping our life, our body awake and functioning, and so on. But this is not where you can meet Krishna. You have to penetrate. Oh, this word, wow, powerful vocabulary. Penetrate, wow, it really sounds like something serious. Into the presence of the Lord. You have to go through the three conditioned states and so on. And also come to a state of Krishna consciousness where you are very much awake to the spiritual reality. Could you understand the analogy? And what it spoke of, you could. You, really? Some of you look rather blank at me. I'm saying we need to wake up by the process of hearing, of chanting. So we will hear now two things. One is, how could we hear properly? How could we do the Shravanam, bring it to perfection? I will request Go Krishna to find the verse 284 in his machine, and I will read you something which I read, thank you, read yesterday by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, Prabhus, I promise you this is some wake-up thing which you will hear. I promise you, it's not easy to understand if you don't listen closely. But if you understand, if you make a test, then you will really understand. Actually, I will read the simple part first. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati speaks about the power of sound vibration to bring us to the spiritual level. He gives an example. We cannot see with our eyes, smell with our nose, taste with our tongue, or touch with our body that object that is at present far from us. Krishna is at present far from us, so we cannot see him, smell him, taste him, touch him. Just as we cannot touch London with any of our senses, mind you, he's in India writing, he's not in London like we, just as we cannot touch London with any of our senses from this place, none of the above four senses, our eyes, smell, taste, and touch, can touch any object situated at such a distance. All we can do is use our sense of hearing to gather knowledge about that object. He is maybe in Calcutta and he writes, we can learn about London even while sitting here by hearing about London, perhaps over the telephone. So then he makes the point which I find challenging, or challenging my intellect. He says, reading is considered an extension of hearing. Because printed words are simply visualized sounds. What a very beautiful point. So you can wake up by reading the Bhagavatam, in other words, because the Bhagavatam has sound and special wake-up sounds. He continues, the scripture is revealed transcendental sound that has been visualized in the form of writing. No? I may read Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is visualized sound. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This sound has been put and transformed in the pages of the book. Therefore, when you read the author. When you read the Bhagavatam, enter into the presence of. Who is it? Is Prabhupada the author of Bhagavatam? There is in the purport. Mm-hmm. But Vyasadev, you know everything. Or Shukadev Goswami, or Maitreya Muni, or Uddhavaji, or, you know. And then it will come alive. You see the situation. Wow, there is this assembly of saints in the forest, their faces are black. What do they have? They're not taken the shower? Is there a problem in cleanliness? No, they are making a yagya for all of us, for the people who would appear in the future in the Kali Yuga, and they are blackened from the smoke of the yagya, and that they know it will not work. So their face is two times black. One, physically, but then psychologically. You know, they are really frustrated. They're doing something which is all in vain. And at that moment, Suta Goswami comes and says, I have to tell you something. I'm really fired up about. I know why you're here. You want to counteract the evils of Kali Yuga. But you know, the process I learned from Shukadev Goswami personally is that we must Shravanam Kirtanam, we must hear and chant about Krishna. No, by this process, the Lord in the heart, he will personally help and take all the inauspicious things away from you. Yes, this is called active reading. By passive reading, yes, some benefit is always there. It's like the shushupti, you know, you come in contact with the Bhagavata, but your consciousness is not engaging with it. It's like dreamed, like the benefit of deep, dreamless sleep. I mean, this is what I say. I have not heard it anywhere way, but it's not, the point is, it's not so effective as when you consciously engage with the text, ask questions. And how to do this, the Bhagavatam tells us in its own words. There's a wonderful verse which tells you how to extract the nectar of the Bhagavatam. Those who love to study Bhagavatam, it's in 2:8:4. I will repeat it at the end of the... This is the verse. Shukadev Goswami speaks to Maharaj Parikshit. Shrinvata Shadaya Nityam Grinatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Natidirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, manifested in their hearts within a short time. So, three in the Sanskrit, we hear there are three words how we should hear. Shraddhaya means with an initial investment of faith. You read it and you say, yeah, this is true, this is true. I believe this is true. The second is Nityam. What means Nityam? It means regularly. Great Britain has made an invention which the rest of Europe did not know about. I also didn't know about it. In my early visits, I came in contact with a kettle. Maybe you have a kettle at home? Yeah. It's a water boiler, which is very useful for hot water, tea of any sort, and so on. And the rest of Europe, we didn't have this. You could just switch it on, and it would get into a boiling state. But only, I learned this, if the electricity did not cut or if you didn't come by mistake on the switch and it switched off. For the water to reach the boiling state, there had to be a regular, uninterrupted supply of electricity. Then it boiled and could be used. So in the same way, you need, yes, Hare Krishna, God bless you. This was an impressive sneeze. If you ever wish that your Bhagavatam study brings you the desired fruits of that you feel close to Krishna in your heart, you must do it uninterruptedly. Every day, even if you only read one verse or half a verse, but you must keep on with the electricity, even if you have a little low supply of only one verse, then the benefit is there. Do you know that life is usually not working because of big decisions? Oops. It works because of the many small decisions which we make, which tune us or bring us into a certain direction. So the regular reading in Bhagavatam, if you could just make this one decision in your life, it will have profound effects. So, okay, what was the first quality? How should we hear the Bhagavatam? First, with faith. Yeah, this is true. I may not see it right now, but I have faith that in due time I will do. Then, second, regularly. Wonderful. And then the son, Prabhupada says, taking the metta very seriously. The Sanskrit word is svacheshtitam. Sva means one's own. Cheshtitam means effort, an endeavor done with mental and physical energy. Svacheshtitam, or this effort which you seriously take, means just, okay, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to do this. I'm reading every day a verse in the Bhagavatam. And in this way, I will have visualized sound. I will have the sound vibration in this special form, and it will work on me, and it will wake me up like the repeated, unstopped alarm of that alarm clock will wake up even a person who sleeps like an elephant. That is the commitment. That is the svasheshtitam, which you need to do. You need to be faithful, and you need to be regular in this. And then, my dear devotees, the transcendental sound will act on you. It will wake you up. It will lift you up and bring you to a level where you can feel very close to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You will have him in the heart. And when Krishna is in your heart, when you remember Krishna, like our wonderful gentleman has informed us, he thinks of Krishna, then the life is very blissful. There is no darkness. There is no Maya for you any longer. This is the process. You're wonderful. I would like to hear more about this. For now, I just need to complete the lecture. Yes. So, Hare Krishna. So, yes, waking up from the narrative that is going on constantly in the mind, that is possible if you give a submissive oral reception to the transcendental sound vibration as it is in the Bhagavatam. And you just need to do this. Please write down, if you have a notebook or you have mobile telephones, you are modern people, please write down this: SB Srimad Bhagavatam 2:8:4. No? And please read it in your own leisure time, and the purport is also, it's really beautiful, and it will give you a lot. It will really give you a lot. Hare Krishna. I want to now close the lecture. I wish you all the best in this effort of waking up into the blissful state of Krishna consciousness, so that your life is as meaningful, that you can make a meaningful contribution to others as well, and that you can be an instrument of this most wonderful community. You know, whenever I come to England, I can just see that, wow, it is a blessed place, really a blessed place. There's so much Krishna consciousness going on, and so many projects, and it is constantly expanding, and constantly there are people who are showing deep interest in the various projects, it is, there are things in this yatra which are nowhere else, like for instance schools. Avanti schools. This is not heard of in the rest of the world, that there are such Krishna. There's a huge congregation. We could see some of them on Gopunim. You know how it is when Jamashtami is there. It's impossible to move, really. Yes, there is. And now I saw the city temple, Soho Street. It will be expanded. It will be double the size very soon. There is a new building which is purchased. Did you know, Sam? It is just next to it. Yes, it is really Krishna's blessing you so very much. So I will end here the class. I've intuitively feel that I've gone over time, so I will look now. Vishaka, what should we do? Should we? There's time for a few questions. Good. Yes, Prabhu, I see you. Your name is Kiran, I believe. Krishna. Kishan, oh yes, Kishan. Yes,
Kishan. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your insight into how to absorb oneself in hearing. My question was, in our study, we can perhaps sometimes approach it from the perspective of jnana, or the desire of knowledge, and I was wondering how we can perhaps transition that to a more devotional desire in approaching it from bhakti.
Whatever the motive is, if it brings you to the Bhagavatam and to study it, it is very good, because the Bhagavatam will work on its own. We may have our plan, but Krishna has his plan, and it always is supreme. That is maybe one of the messages of the Mahabhagavat. Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, they had their own plan, and they had fortified everything, they had arranged everything in one way, but Krishna broke it. It's very interesting, the medieval, the European psychologist, Carl Gustav Jung, you must have heard about him. He said a few things which are really very true. For instance, over his house he had a Latin saying, which I can't repeat, I forgot it. But summoned or not, he's always there. Called for or not called for, God is always there, he wanted to say. He had another thing that for me is just so true. And he said, God is always the person who comes into your world and changes your plans. He's always, you know, it always, you know, we all know this, when we want to tell Krishna our plans, he will listen, and sometimes he will answer according to what we do, but he has an ultimate plan for us, and he will make sure that it will eventually go through. What I wanted to say is, if you want to know the Bhagavatam, that's very good. And I want to give you a recommendation. There are very excellent study guides now out, where you can really go deeper into the understanding of the Bhagavatam. I highly recommend this Bhagavat Subodhini. It is you are aware of that. It is presented by Gauranga Darshan from the Govardhan Eco Village. It really helps your study of the Bhagavatam. And then when you understand just how good, wonderful the Bhagavatam is, what is the line, how it develops the philosophy or the respective lila and so on, you are just wow. If you are a young intellectual and you wish to satisfy your appetite to know, that is very good. That is very good. And by this process, you will get the flavor of devotion, because it's so obvious in the Bhagavata, and it will come very, very quickly. Hare Krishna. Yes. I think your good name is Ian, isn't it? Yes, yes. Please ask your question.
Thank you so much for your class. You emphasized the importance of reading. And I can speak for myself. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, I've had a negative correlation with reading. I've not always been able to enjoy reading, but I know and I understand that everything is in Prabhupada's books, and I should develop that relationship. So, Maharaj, do you have any advice for someone like myself? How can I build that relationship with reading books when I've never really had it?
How serious and nice your question is. Yes. Yes. Yesterday, there was someone on the, online, but it was Zoom or whatever, this program which we had on, who said, I'm bored when I read Prabhupada's books. And then one of the facilitators of the online program said, me also. How is it? Me too, or there is some me too. And I said, now we are at a good place. We are dealing with the reality. yes, we all know, wow, Prabhupada's books. Yeah, wow. We say this in ISKCON. Who reads of these wow people? yes. Prabhupada's books are on a very high platform. They are, and we are not yet on a very high platform, and therefore the two don't meet often. But I think with the right framing, you can do this. Let me tell you very honestly, as a young person who joined Krishna consciousness very young, I was only 16 years. And, the Bhagavad Gita, the devotees gave me the Bhagavad Gita. I tried to read, but I could not understand it. My mind was into movies and songs and the wild, precious expression of life. And then I framed it in a different way. I said to myself, this is transcendental sound vibration. This is from a different level. And you just hear it, and then you will get it one day. And to get Krishna consciousness is so precious that a little effort is necessary. So when we can't comprehend it, there are these good study guides. But I will give you another thing which worked for me. You have to make the book somehow relevant for you. It's just like a cooking book. For me, as a very unpractical person, cooking books is the most boring literature I can imagine. Or I know one literature which is even more boring, but it is not existing any longer. These are telephone books, which were in the telephone booths. They have a list of names. Yeah, to open it. You know, those Smith. Yes, I got it. People in England are called Smith. Smith. Most boring literature but if I want to phone my Mr. Smith, you know, my particular Mr. Smith, maybe he is called Johnny Smith. You know, and this book is highly interesting. My God, yes, I'm going. Johnny Smith, yes. And I dial it, and Johnny, it's me. And so on. So the same thing, the telephone book, which is ordinary, very boring, becomes highly relevant. In fact, necessary for me if I can find a frame. In this example, I want to meet my friend Johnny Smith, and so on. So you must also frame your reading, that this reading I'm doing to come closer to Krishna. If your problem is that it goes in one brain cell and out of the other brain cell, in other words, if nothing sticks, you might take the aid of books. Also, our Sutapa has written the book, no? The book, it's called. You read, and then you know where your reading is going. But you have to make it relevant. And I guarantee you, my dear everyone, if you just regularly read, after some time, it will be something you look forward to. But it does need, you need to penetrate your mind and your Kali Yuga brain. I don't mean it in any offensive way. I just mean it conditioned by the age. And then it can get you somewhere. But you look also like Kishan, a young person who is engaging with the world through through thought, through thinking. So it may be that a study guide will do the job for you. You already are willing to read because you have joined the ashram and you are in the temple. You already willing to become a devotee. You now have to make it relevant. And it will be svacheshtitam. It will be your own effort. You have to put your effort there. You have to find undisturbed time. Maybe you can speak with someone like Sutapa or someone who knows you. I know he's the Bhakta leader, or was the Bhakta leader. He's a prominent person. And then he can recommend you a book where it's easier to enter a part maybe of the Bhagavatam. And once you have the taste, you know, you want to repeat it again and again. Thank you for your real question. Yes, Mataji. Please speak loud enough. Mm-hmm. Oh, we will give you a microphone, then everyone can hear.
Maharaj, we hear and we wake up, but the tendency of the mind is it becomes indifferent to whatever like after repeated hearing, the mind becomes indifferent.
Yes.
And I think it's one of the anarthas mentioned in Madhurya Kadambini, you know, that mm-hmm. stage of lay or indifference. How do we overcome that?
Yeah, the mind switches off. We are now approaching the time in the lecture where every lecturer knows I have to quickly end it because people start switching off. You know, 1 hour is really maximum for the Hare Krishnas. I know you. I'm one of you. So what the speaker will do, he will break the atmosphere. He will make a joke, like I did. I'm just telling you what to how to give how to pull the people in. Yes, the mind becomes indifferent. Yes, this indifference. You know, this is absolutely natural for the conditioned souls. We have been indifferent towards Krishna since time immemorial. This is our problem. We have turned away from Krishna. We are indifferent. And we will face this problem when we hear about Krishna. We will face it especially during chanting. Have you noticed all of a sudden? And the mind is here and the tongue is there flapping, but it's not a devotional activity any longer. Indifference. The indifference goes when the heart is purified. Then you will develop interest, deep, abiding interest. In the meantime, the cure against indifference is to be with devotees who are eager for Krishna and hope that something colors in the heart, to come to the temple, to be there for sanghas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur deals with this indifference in the Harinam Chintamani, and he gives this advice. We must hear about Krishna more and more in the association of devotees, and then you will have an eager desire, oh Krishna, I'm really missing you. Oh Krishna, my life is not where I wish it to go. Oh Krishna, time is also there. And still no deep level in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes you might even take this problem to Krishna and say, my dear Lord, I'm trying to be your devotee. But it's so hard, I'm so conditioned, I'm so... And you go and please give me a spark, you know, spark of life, spark of real life. Please give me a proper association so that the little spark which is there can be fanned and become a fire. I myself am helpless. You know, there is no better sadhana than just saying, Krishna, I'm yours and you are mine. But my mind has not yet accepted. Please help me. Like this. Indifference is a problem. It's built into us since so many long years of indulging our minds in the material world that is. It is maybe the core disease which we all have spiritually. Core disease sounds so. It's really a problem, and the recipe is find those who can fan your flames, your spark. Then it comes out. Like yesterday, I saw even old people were dancing, and you know, I was thinking they were not indifferent to the chanting. Good. I will end the class here. I thank you very much for your kind attention. Most of you will forget every word in this class. You will, when someone asks you, what was it about? Well, this Maharaj has humor, you know, and you will not really know. So I will give you the essence for you. Please, my dear devotees, there is a process of waking up from the material dream, the dreamlike state. It is Shravanam, it is hearing. That's why Lord Chaitanya here said, yes, this is, he accepted this from Rai Ramananda. And you have to see how to make your own Shravanam work. You know, that is very important. You have to find out your way. Some hints were given. There is also the Bhagavatam text for you to go, but please do it. I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Tai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo, Krishna Krishna.